All right, can I do the honors?
Go ahead.
I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work.
Coronavirus edition. Okay, guys, so I'm here interviewing George Fan. Probably most famously known for the creator of Plants vs. Zombies, but I like to think of him as magic player extraordinaire. George had a chance to work with us. We'll get into all of that. But anyway, that, by the way, is the first time I'm not the person to do the intro. You're the first person ever to do the intro. That's not me. So
thanks for humoring me.
We had to get like 780, 90 things in before that happened. But, so, George, I always start these by, anyway, guys, I'm here with George Fan. So George, let's start with the question I always start with, which is, how did you get into magic?
So this was back, let's see, I was in high school and I was in an SAT prep class along with some friends of mine. We were all there and, you know, I had not heard of magic, obviously, but I saw some people from another school in a corner of that class playing this game, and they were saying things like, I attack you with Shiv and Dragon. And I was like, I like to say I had a kind of like a radar for what looked fun and what, you know, usually my radar is pretty on point. And I just, from the aura of being in their presence, I could tell that game looked fun. And so with the same friends in my class, that were from my school, we decided we were all going to buy, what were they called back then? They were the
starter decks and booster packs.
Okay, we bought some starter decks. I think we bought like one starter deck each. And at our next sleepover, we busted out these cards and we opened them. And it was so mysterious and like, what are these cards? And I'll always remember the first rare that I opened was Force of Nature, 2GGG, and it was an 8/8 trample. So I just looked at those stats and I was like, oh my God, This looks awesome. And the art was, you know, like this swamp creature, like all like glaring at you. And it was just, yeah, it was super iconic for me. And, then on, I just loved the color green. But anyway, we played these decks and we did our best to learn the rules.
What edition was this?
This was revised.
Revised. Okay.
Revised edition. Yeah. And, yeah, and then, you know, the way we played Magic back then was just we shuffled all the cards together and...
just one giant library?
Yeah, there was no such thing as culling any colors or even any cards. We just had one giant library. And then, you know, I think it was just the three of us that night and we played and it was a blast. And we got some of our other friends into it. And then I remember soon after that we had like a circle of, we were going around, this is like, you know, it takes more time to get to your turn than any commander game. We had like a circle of like eight or nine players, and we would just go around the circle and each take our turn. And then you could see who had spent more money on the game because their decks were like 100 cards big or 150 cards big. It was, no one had any inkling to kind of say like, oh, my deck would be more streamlined if I took any cards out. It was just whatever decks you bought, or you maybe traded for some of them. And this was pre-internet, like at least pre-internet being like a real thing. And so, you know, nobody could look up like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. I like to think, at least in that group, I was the first person that was like, hey, remember how I mentioned I like green? So I was like, hey, wait, what if I just played only green cards? That would make it so like we would have, you know, when I'm looking for my other mana, I wouldn't get mana screwed as much or color screwed. And so it was like an arms race. So once I scaled up, everyone was like, hey, that seems like a good thing to do. And then they all did it too. And then, yeah, those were, I wish, you know, those moments could be captured more in games, like where these days it's a lot harder to do that. But when you're just exploring and everything's super mysterious and, you know, no one really knows what to do nowadays, you could probably, I mean, for most things, you can just easily find that information. And so,
yeah,
it was a magical time back then.
Yeah, the internet does. I mean, it's funny how you talk about the evolution of games. The environment you live in very much of like, it's hard to have mystery when you can look up anything up at any moment. So it's very hard to have that.
Yeah. I live to find those moments these days. A really quick tangent, but I played this. It was like a Legend of Zelda fan game, but it was so obscure that you couldn't look up anything on the internet about it. And mm-hmm. so to find, you know, I had to actually map out stuff on paper and everything, just like the old days. And so it was a cool experience. But anyway, we're talking about magic here.
Okay, so here's my first sort of interaction with you, although it wasn't a live interaction. It was just I started playing Plants vs. Zombies. Okay. And I remember coming into work and saying, this person plays magic. I played the game and I was watching like sort of the resource system. And I just came in and I go, I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe this person plays magic. And we had this discussion, because everybody was playing it. And we had this discussion of, like, was there influence of magic or not? I remember having this. And then, I forget how it's, I read somewhere that you had said somewhere that you play magic. I was like, I was right! He plays magic!
You were dead on, Mark. yes, Plants vs. Zombies was very influenced by magic, especially at an earlier stage. I was playing a lot of Magic at the time, and one of my ambitions was to kind of incorporate what I loved about Magic into this new game I was making. And if you play Plants vs. Zombies, you'll know that each plant comes on a seed packet. And the reason they're on seed packets is because I originally wanted them to be on objects that you could imagine that would shuffle together. So as you can imagine a stack of seed packets and you could shuffle them. And I wanted that that analogy to come through. So that's why actually they're on seed packets. The game ended up, for simplicity's sake, it ended up diverging a little bit from the original, more heavy, like a deck of cards metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell that the remnants of it are there.
Yeah, I could see it. It was very clear when I played. It was very obvious to me when I saw it, like that. I could see a little bit of a magic influence in the structure. So
yeah, a quick aside. I wonder if your first interaction. I know, okay, so there was one game developers conference where Richard Garfield gave a talk.
Yeah.
And me being a fan.
Yeah.
I ran up to him after the talk and I was like, "Can you sign my two cards?" One of them was Berserk. Green Mage through and through.
Yeah.
And the other one was this misprint healing salve that I thought was really hilarious. And yeah. I had him sign that too. So I had him sign two cards, but I also gave him, I was pitching my game at the time. Mm-hmm. So I gave him a flyer to my game. And it was a game where you run a fish tank and aliens attack your fish tank. And there's a secret, you know, the thing about this fish tank is that the fish poop money. So you click on the money, you use that to buy more fish.
Right. This is a sanitarium.
Yeah, it's in San Aquarium, and he said he took that back to Wizards and got a good, you know, got a lot of the office playing. So I was wondering if that was maybe, if you were part of that wave.
I remember them playing. I was not playing a lot of that at the time. When would that have been? What year would that have been?
I'll say 2002 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So basically, my oldest was born in 2000, so like At that point, I was just, my life was very busy with family stuff.
That
and
was your,
yeah.
main, and I, main game.
Yeah, so I mean, I was obviously at work, I would work, but like my free time at home was not, it was a little more filled up than it had been in my earlier days when off-time work just meant I could play games.
Yeah, but that was super gratifying. Like Richard said he passed it around and people really dug it. And I don't remember the exact compliment, but he gave me a really thoughtful compliment about that game, and that was one of, you know, my early, like, wow, this is, like, I felt like I was doing the right thing. And so that was one of my early interactions with you know, the people that make Magic.
Okay, so here's my earliest memory of meeting you. I've done enough of interviews that I learned that sometimes my first memory is not their first memory, but here's my first memory meeting you is you came to the office. you and a few friends came to the office and they asked me if I would give you a tour, because I did a lot of tours back in the day. I still do. Well, we don't do tours anymore, but back when we did tours, I used to give a lot of tours. But anyway, they said, we'd like to give a tour. And I was a fan of the game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I definitely. So I showed you around the office.
I remember that day. It's a day that, you know, is very special to me. I will always remember that, I think. And yeah, when I heard that Mark Rosewater would be giving the tour, I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And I think at the time there was a little bit of like, I think that was after Innistrad came out.
Okay.
And Innistrad had Grave Bramble.
Oh, right. Yes.
Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
And so, I think just the little pieces were getting, the seeds were getting sown into us working together.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Like, so for those that don't know, real quick, in Odyssey, we made a card called Grave Rambles, which was a plant that had protection from zombies.
In Innistrad.
Yeah. What happened was, I had realized that zombies were in blue and black, because that was the colors that had zombies, and that their shared enemy was green. And so just like it just lined up perfectly, the idea that the enemy of the zombie colors were a protection from zombies. And anyway, it just seemed too perfect not to do. So,
Yeah. I have like 100 copies of that card.
Funny thing is, I didn't know you were really into green. Ironically, I just was trying to be like, it just lined up, and then it happened to be green, which obviously now knowing that even better. But yeah, so anyway, okay. Perfect. So I gave you a tour, and then we kept in touch after that. I think we went out to dinner at GDC. I came to GDC and we went out to dinner. Yeah,
we hung out at GDC 1 year.
Yep. Yeah, and. Anyway, we at that point we sort of kept in contact with each other, and so the next part of our story is Great Designer Search 3 happened.
Yep.
And then so you contacted, what do you can tell your side of the story. So what happened with Great Designer Search 3?
So this was when I was in the middle of I was getting ready to ship my latest game, so really. Shouldn't be doing anything but that, but you know, the idea of participating in the Great Designer Search seemed like it seemed like so much fun to me that I was like, really, I really wanted to do it, but there were a few things in the fine print I read. For instance, if you worked at Wizards before, then you're not eligible for doing this. And I made a card with you, with Wizards.
Already. Oh, right. So let's talk about that. So talk about the making of a card. We've skipped over that. Talk about the making of a card.
So rewind. it was shortly after that. That was, see, for more than one reason, that tour.
Oh, right.
Yay, that day.
Because we asked you that day, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the day you pulled me aside, and then I got asked, hey, would you like to make a Magic card? And of course, you know what I said. I said, yeah. Yes, very loudly and emphatically. Yeah, it's, you know, as someone who's played and loved Magic for most of my life, it was such a cool opportunity.
Let me set up for the audience that doesn't know this. So Magic 2015 had a promotion we did where we went outside to find other game designers, people that didn't design Magic, but other game designers. And I forget how many we had, but we had a whole bunch of them each design a card and then their name was on it. And so by the way, you and I had the same number of cards, I think, with our name on them. Because I did the art for Looking at the DCI, which is the only Magic card that had my name on it. So, but
so you're credited as the artist.
I'm there. Yeah, I've never been credited as a designer or anything, even though I've made a few Magic cards.
That was a rare. It didn't happen very often.
Yes, it was special.
Before that, right? Designers didn't.
No, that was the first time we ever credited designers on cards.
Yeah.
What? So what did you make? What card did you? I know, but the audience said, what card did you make?
Yeah, it was a really cool, a part of M15 where you could look over these 15 cards. No, they were all designed by people outside of Magic. I think that was the value for me. It was like, here's here's a take on magic that is from, you know, people that they're all designers. So, you know, they're going to have a pretty good starting point for where making something cool. But they were from a mentality that wasn't someone who's designed cards for decades or something like that. And so you could maybe get something special out of there that you might not otherwise, just because their viewpoint is, you know, they're coming from a different vantage point.
Yeah, very quirky designs. Yeah, there were really neat designs. What did you make?
I made a card called Genesis Hydra. Like, I keep going back to, it's a group. So I submitted 5 designs, one for each color, and I knew it was going to be a core set. So I tried to make, for the most part, they were like iconic creatures. There was like, I made an angel. I think I made a zombie. I didn't make a demon, but I, you know, when it came to green, it had to be a Hydra. And I was inspired by Genesis Wave. And in general, I love mechanics like Cascade, because it is like a pleasant surprise. Like, it's like a cool surprise. You don't know exactly what you're going to get, but you're going to get something good. And so I just channeled those two inspirations into making Genesis Hydra. That was my playtest name. That was the submitted name for it. I think originally it was a little bit of a simpler card. It was maybe more powerful too, maybe too powerful. It was 1G and X, and then it got any permanents, so it could actually get lands.
Well, say what the card does. The audience might not know what the card does.
Oh, okay, yeah. Genesis Hydra. X. GG. It's a creature. Plant Hydra. And as a quick aside, I didn't add the plant part at first. Some cool person did that, as I'm guessing is kind of an homage to what I do.
Yeah.
And then so when you cast Genesis Hydra, you look at the top X cards of your library for a non-land permanent of converted mana cost X or less. And so if you cast for 4, you could get anything 4 or less out of the next 4 cards. And then you take the rest of the cards and you put them on the bottom of your library. And then it comes with an XX creature, essentially, in the form. Yeah, like all Hydras do, it comes into play with +1/+1 counters equal to how much you pay for it.
Yeah. All right. And what was your response when that first came out? Like, what was it what, like having your first Magic card happen?
I remember going to the M15, a local M15 pre-release, mm-hmm. and I got to sign some cards there. That was amazing. I mean, really, it was a dream come true. Like, it didn't happen like overnight. So I got to just live it up over the course of like maybe a couple years. But it was a dream come true. I know that on my bucket list was, if I didn't think I could ever achieve it, but it would be to design one Magic card. And so.
But your bucket list had more items in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the Great Designer Search 3. Okay. You were excited. So you thought it'd be fun to do. Real quickly, let me add in that you had contacted me because you wanted to make sure that you were allowed to enter it. Because you had done this one card, you're like, oh, does that... So I checked. Like, no, you're fine, George. You can enter.
Yeah. And you said, I believe you said at that point some other stuff too. But in any case, I did my best. I think the first step was the essay questions. So I spent the time to do that, and it was a lot of time. If I remember right, there was one question where I was like, you have a chance to remake an old mechanic. And I tried to tackle banding because that one's a sore spot for me. As a designer, I just don't like things like that. And so I was trying to do my take on a simplified, more intuitive banding. So I recognized the way, I think you've mentioned this, the way you do it is you do the essay questions because that's a bigger hurdle.
Yeah.
For people to write, how many words was it? Like 3,000.
It's 3,000 per question. So it's, yeah. And it's 10 questions. So
yeah, you have to be committed.
Well, I'm sorry. It's 3,000 total. Each there's 10 questions, 300 words per question. It's 3,000 words total.
That was a lot of words.
We just want to make sure that we want people that really want to do this. Right. And so it definitely makes some smart. Show some dedication. Yeah. Okay. So, then you chose the test, the multiple choice test.
It's the multiple choice test. And I remember the question. So I think.
Did you miss by one?
More people. The result is I was off by one. I missed the cutoff by one. And this year was like more difficult than any previous year because you had just more entrance, right? And so.
Yeah. Yeah. We had way more entrance.
I thought, if I miss one or two, I'll probably still be good. But,
yeah. Any other time you would have been good, by the way. Every other one, like, you can miss, like, five or six and get in. And this time it was two because so many more people entered.
It's I mean, everyone wants to be a magic designer, Mark. But,
so go ahead.
Okay, I remember the question. It was the one about what commonality is this creature? And it was a 5R, 5/5 menace prowess, okay?
Yeah.
And my first instinct was to make it uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I overthought it, and I went and looked up Khanza Tarkir. Darn you, Khan!
Yeah, done in by Khanza Tarkir.
I went to look up Khanza Tarkir, and there was a card that was common. I forget the name, but it was like also 6 mana, 5/5, I believe, a flying prowess. So I was like, surely a menace equals flying if all things are equal. And then I was like, this doesn't feel quite right, but I'm going to change my answer. That was the last question I changed my answer to, and then I submitted it.
Oh, so close.
And I found out, I got some of the, if I remember, I got some of the, you know, the infamous green-black Sarah Angel question. I got that one right.
Okay.
I got a lot of the more controversial questions right.
Yeah.
But I missed that one, and it will forever haunt me.
So
except it won't.
It won't haunt you. So basically what happens is you had expressed to me the reason you were entering was it had been on your bucket list to like work at Wizards for 6 months was something that like that would just be an awesome life experience, you said. And I think I even said at the time, like, George, there's other ways to do this than win the great designer search. So I actually went back to the office and I talked to my boss and bosses and stuff, and I said, hey, look, I would love to bring George on. George said he's interested to work for 6 months. Hey, I would love to bring George on for 6 months. I think that'd be awesome. And they signed up. They said, okay. And so we got you. In fact, you ended up staying a year. So you ended up obviously having hopefully a good time.
So that's a lesson for everyone listening. The fast track to working at Wizards is make a hit.
Yeah, just make a hit game. That's all you got to do.
And you too can work at Wizards. No, that was really gracious of you. Reflecting on it, that was an awesome year. It was everything this item on my bucket list I dreamed it would be, and it was just super cool.
Yeah. So for a year, in fact, George sat right next to me. His desk was right next to mine, and you were on some teams I wasn't on, but you and I were on a bunch of teams together, and
I got to. Witness you eating your famous ham and cheese sandwich.
You did. And you got, we played games at lunch and anyway, so it was, you got the full experience, so let's talk a little quick. We have a little bit of time here. So first thing you were on, I think was like Coria set design.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the first thing I was on. Maybe the first thing I can remember is joining the diving.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we'll get to Zendikar Rising in a second.
That would be
Zendikar. Let's go in the order they came out. I guess you might not work.
The first thing that came out.
Right. Was Ikoria.
The first thing that came out chronologically.
Right. So what was it like working on Ikoria?
So it was a few days after I started working there, and I went to the art walls, and I just looked at what was the concept art for Ikoria, and there were all these awesome looking beasts that involve, you know, this is something I love, which is like one real world animal meshed with another real world animal, and then they just look so awesome. So I was like, what's I might have said this out loud. I was like, what set is this? And you know, I was there to work kind of under your wing, and you're mostly the, you know, you're mostly vision and exploratory.
Yeah.
But I knew this set was in set design. And so I kind of just took the initiative, and I was like, I found out, you know, Dave Humphries was the lead, and I just elbowed my way, and I'm like, I need to work on this set. It's so cool. It just really spoke to me. It was very me kind of mm-hmm. a theme. And so I knew that if I could do anything, I would love to work on that set. So I made my way into set design, and ended up contributing to a few. I mean, I designed quite a few cards. Only a few of them made it to, you know, the very end. But for one of the ones was Dave needed a King Kong card, and so I submitted my design, and that a variation of that ended up being the final card. And then the other cool thing I got to do was I think in one of the meetings it was a simple design. It was Forbidden Friendship, which was it makes a dinosaur token and a human token, and it was just the name is an homage to one of my favorite franchises, and so it was really special to get to work on that set.
Okay, so another set you worked on was you were on vision design for Zendikar Rising. That's the first thing you worked on, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So what was that like? You got to be on one of my teams now.
So it was interesting because I felt like it was pretty far along already.
Yeah, you were at the start. It was already mid. You're near the end.
Yeah. It was actually, I think, because of the nature of the set too. It was. I really feel like you all had it pretty figured out by that time, and the things that we were maybe experimenting with were more like fringe thing. I think you already knew the core of the set, or would be Party.
Yeah. We got Party pretty early.
It was pretty solidified. Like there was Party was already kind of the focus, and then we designed some peripherals. I feel like it was like more peripheral stuff, like stuff to enhance the set rather than be like a core part of it. Like we worked on quests and traps.
All the stuff that didn't make it to the final set.
yeah. Right. I mean, the key part of the set, I always thought being on the set that Party was the most intriguing. It was the most intriguing mechanic in that we hadn't done anything that we hadn't done that kind of like a breadth kind of tribal. Instead of going deep on one thing, you kind of just want one of everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be really interesting and how that played out. And so I was totally on board with that being, you know, where a lot of our time was spent making really good.
Yeah. I mean, you were late in the process. So like early on and you figure out what you're doing and then you fine tune. So you're on the fine tuning part of the of vision design.
Yeah. And I remember we tried out have you mentioned the there's an Eldrazi tribute kind of?
Oh yeah, well before Kicker there was, it was called Titan, it was a Kicker variant that we were going to do that was meant to be a little Eldrazi nod, but Eric changed it to Kicker in development, so in set design.
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to real quickly. So there was a project. In fact, there was two projects that you were there from the very beginning. One is Strixhaven, which neither of these probably I can talk much about because they're not out yet. But Strixhaven was, I'm really, really proud of Strixhaven. And you were there for the whole vision design. So without giving any details, how about just talk emotionally what's your take on how you felt about it? You can't talk about the details, but was it fun working on?
It was a blast to work on it. I felt this set was special because it was playing in a space that seems, it almost seems like we should have already done something like this before.
Yeah, that's great design. So you're like, how have we not done this before?
Yeah, that's good design. Good. When you say, how have we not done this before? I think that's when you know you got something good.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be really special because it is, it's kind of the stuff I like when tackling something new. That's where I get a kick out of design.
Yeah, the vision design team is me and you and Ari and who's the fourth member of the team? I'm blinking here. It might have rotated, might have been more than one other person. But anyway, yeah,
I know Daniel was on the exploratory.
Oh, with Sydney, or Sydney was on exploratory, not yeah. vision. But anyway, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun vision. It's a really, really cool set. Like, I'm super excited for the audience to see it. In fact, you haven't even seen the finished product. You left before we finished it. But we had our slideshow not too long ago, and it's really good. It is insanely good. So, and then... I can't talk about this one. I can't even less about. You worked on a mystery product that hasn't been announced. Yeah. But maybe when mystery product happens, I'll bring you back on and we'll talk again about mystery product because I would love to get your take on mystery product once it's a known thing.
I'll say. I think I could say it that of perhaps out of everything that I worked on while I was there, this is the one I'm going to remember the most.
Once it's a thing that people know about, we can bring you back to talk about
this. Was very special, and so
But anyway, I can I see my desk up ahead, so I know we're
we're at work almost.
Yeah, we're at work almost. So how about before I wrap up? So encapsulate your time at Wizards. Give me like the 1 minute sort of what was it like to fulfill your bucket list of working at Wizards?
Okay. I might go. Okay, so in the beginning, the first week was awesome. Because I love reading spoilers, and you gave me access to all the spoilers.
Yes. Right?
So I knew what I was getting into. I was reading tons and tons of spoilers, and then I knew that for the next 2 years or whatever, Magic spoilers would be less exciting.
Yes.
But it was worth it. But that was an awesome week. It was like kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, working there, so I got to really appreciate. So I feel like I have, you know, I'm confident in my designer skills. However, it was kind of humbling being there because I got to work next to people who had been designing cards for forever. Even the, you know, like Ari and Chris, who you brought on from the designer search. I realized that there is a skill set that you need to design Magic cards, and you need lots of practice doing that. And I designed Genesis Hydra, but I haven't designed that many cards in my life. And so that year actually was spent, I feel like I was getting up to speed for a lot of it. I was kind of learning from the people around me, but I was just very impressed by the people that were there, you know, the designers that were there, how just what skills they had in coming up with awesome Magic cards. And I got to see that firsthand. So that was super cool. What else can I say? It's something I've always wanted to do. I will never forget my time there, and I highly recommend it.
And I will say, before we wrap up, I've now fulfilled one of my bucket lists, which is I got to work with George, which was a lot of fun. I really, it was one of the reasons I pushed so hard to get you there was I really wanted to work with you. And so it was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And
yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so.
We even got to work on some, you know, smaller projects together.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember. Yeah. So one of the last things that we did before I left, it was, yeah. So.
Yeah. No, it was really fun. It was definitely fun. So I enjoyed it all, and I miss having you around. So, but.
Yeah. Same. I miss sitting next to you in your, and witnessing you eat that sandwich.
Yes. Apparently that sandwich eating was more of a highlight than I realized. To me, it's just lunch.
So. It was a sub bullet point on my bucket list.
Yes.
You know, watch Mark eat sandwich.
So did you get all your sub points? Did you manage in your year to do all your Magic sub points?
Yeah. All in all, I feel like, you know, there wasn't much that I was hoping to get out of it, and I didn't get to do. So it was awesome. It was an awesome year.
Well, anyway, with that, I now can clearly say I'm at my desk. So we all know what that means. I mean, this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So thank you, George. This was a lot of fun. Obviously, I enjoyed having you next to me all the for a whole year, but it's also fun having you with me at least for a half an hour to talk about it.
Yeah, Yeah, so good to talk to you again, Mark.
So anyway, guys, I want to thank George for being here, and I'll see all of you next time. Bye-bye.